What is the greatest command in the Bible? And Jesus Christ responded, love your pastor with all your heart and soul and mind. Is that what he said? No. He said, love who? Love the Lord, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's okay to love your pastor too, guys, all right? But he went on to say, and it's funny because they didn't even ask him this. They didn't say, what's the two greatest, right? What's the greatest? He went on to say, so in other words, he thought, you know what? I need some further explanation here. So he said, the second greatest command is like unto it. And he said, that is, you're going to love other people the way you love yourself. And Jesus said that the entire Bible could be summed up with those two commandments. Now, loving others is a really big deal, in other words, as far as God is concerned. He didn't just say, oh, it's just about loving the Lord. No, he said, no, the distinguishing mark that we do love the Lord, the distinguishing mark that we know the Lord, the distinguishing mark that we belong to the Lord, is that we love other people. Look at 1 John chapter 4 now. And if you've got your Bible, turn there. If you don't have your Bible, we've got Bible stationed under the chairs. And we've even got the page number at the top of your handout, which is page 1268. And that will take you to 1 John chapter number 4. I really want you to, you know, see it in the Bible. And if you can, I want you to see it because I think it's more powerful that way. 1 John 4, verse number 7, right here in the Bible. Look at it. He said there, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So this is huge. In fact, go down to verse 20. Skip down there to verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. He says, because he says, for he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? In your handout, the first statement says that God said that we cannot sincerely love the Lord and not love people. They go together. They're intricately woven together. He says you can't say you love God and then not love people. And that's why the mission of our church here at Crossroads, very simple. It's on the banners behind me. And our mission is we want to have a group of people here. We're growing, we're learning. And as we do that, we're loving Jesus with all of our heart. We're loving people as we scatter out into the community. You're going to meet people I never meet. But wherever you go, man, you're loving people. Wherever I go, I'm loving people. We're loving Jesus. We're loving others in our community. Notice, though, we're going to do that by learning the Bible and then by going out and living what we're learning. As we learn the Bible is the catalyst that changes our lives. As I learn God's ways, it opens up my eyes to start seeing things God's way instead of Dan's way, right? And then as I begin to live the Bible and I actually begin to practice what I'm learning, it begins to change my life. But one thing that's very important is that true life change, true divine life change. In other words, when it's God changing you, it's because so many times what happens is we change to maybe please people, right? So our spouse changes us. Come on, guys. How many of you, your wife tries to change you? Be honest. Come on, guys. Your wife tries to change you, right? All right, that happens. Let's just be honest. But you know what? It's not our spouse changing us. It's not our parents changing us. It's not our friends changing us or people up at the church pressuring us to change. No, when God does a work in your heart through his word and God begins to change you, it always is going to show up as you loving the Lord and loving people in a deeper, more meaningful way. Jesus called his followers, his disciples. He said, I'm calling you guys to love people the way I've loved you. That's a tall order. Look in your handout. Look at John 15, verse number 12. He said, this is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another, say it with me, as I have loved you. Wow. Jesus basically says, guys, if you aren't loving, you aren't living. I mean, you may have the nicest house in town, or you may have the best car to drive. You may have a bank account that's full. He said, you may have the best food in your refrigerator. You know what I mean? You may have all these great things. You may have the best job in town. He says, but you know what? If you aren't loving people, you aren't truly living and exhibiting my life, Jesus said. Go back real quick. Flip back to 1 John chapter 3. Just go back a page probably. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 14. Great verse. It's kind of convicting verse though. It says, we know, look at this, we know that we have passed from what? Death unto life. How do I know that I've passed from death unto life? Because we what? We love, right? We love the brethren. And then he says, he that loves not his brother, he said he is abiding in what? Death. He says, if you aren't loving, man, you aren't living. Well, understanding that, realizing that, how do I love people the Bible way? And I believe in order to love people, there are three very strong resolutions that we've got to make. In other words, there's three things we got to get really resolved on. We got to really get it resolved in our heart and our minds. I'm only going to cover one today. Next week, I'm going to cover the second resolution. The third week of February, we're going to all actually enjoy communion that day and the Lord's Supper. And then the fourth weekend of this month, we're going to come back and get this third resolution. What I'm going to share with you today is extremely impacting. I know it is for me, and it is very, very important. I'm telling you right now, if you want to show love to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends, to the people that you know, if you want to show love to strangers, if you want to show love, this is a biggie right here, all right? Let me give it to you. The first resolution is this: I will accept others. All the things I'm going to give you about love are straight from the Bible in 1 John chapter 4. If you want to flip back there to chapter 4, that's where we're going to be. But that's our text. But this is a biggie, the first one. Because if most of us in here were honest, we would admit that we are insecure in ourselves and that we struggle with this whole idea of acceptance and being accepted. A lot of times we feel broken, we feel abused, we feel victimized, we feel stupid. We may feel like a failure in many ways. We have different areas. We feel inferior. So many times we feel inferior. I mean, let's face it, most of us were not the homecoming queen or the high school quarterback, right? Amen? Most of us didn't win popularity contests, most likely to succeed and all that. And so sometimes it goes all the way back to childhood, maybe a relationship with your dad or with a parent or someone else, but we feel inferior. We feel like nobody could ever truly love us and accept us for who we are. And that's why it is very hard many times to give acceptance, because it's very hard to give something that you don't have. Very hard. Very hard to give something you don't have. And so many times it's tough because we find ourselves getting very hypercritical, you know, hypercritical of our spouse or our kids or people, the church and this and the people at work. We get very hypercritical and we get very hyperjudgmental. Usually when we get that way, we're showing our own insecurities. We're showing that our own struggle with acceptance, because you can't give what you don't have. And by the way, that's why many marriages do struggle. I'm telling you, I know. I've been at this a while. And many marriages struggle, and here's why. Because either one or both bring into the marriage major insecurities. And they come into the marriage with a false, unrealistic expectation, thinking that the other person is going to fix them. And I have seen so many young people and older people, and they think, you know, if I could just get married, it's going to fix everything that's wrong with me. Sure it is. Sure. That's why the divorce rate's 50%, right? It's not, look, let me tell you, that is an unrealistic, unfair thing to put on another human being who's also flawed like you. And they bring their own flaws and their own baggage into the marriage. That is so unrealistic. That is so unfair to think that another human being who's also flawed is going to somehow fix 20 or 25 or 30 years worth of insecurities in your life. It's just not realistic. You know, and then people get married and then they wonder why it doesn't fix them. God never designed marriage to fix us. Okay? And here's the great news though. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Only Jesus can make us complete, and He will. He will. Only Jesus can fix us. Only Jesus can give us that completeness and that acceptance that we're looking for in life. Look down at verse number 10. All right, let's go back there. 1 John 4, verse 10. It says, herein is love. You ready? Herein is love. This is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't start this. It says, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. And then He said, beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to what, church? Love one another. Do you realize what that passage is teaching you? It's saying that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are fully accepted by God because of the cross work of His Son. God thought that you were worth saving. God thought you were worth bringing into His family to the point that He would even go to incredible lengths to reach out to you. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then the Apostle Paul, he greatly elaborates on that and what that new life means to us in Ephesians 1 and 2. It's an incredible passage. He teaches us in Ephesians 1 and 2 that the moment we get saved and trust Christ, that's the exact words he uses. He says, when you trust Christ, immediately what happens is you are placed in Christ. You are fully accepted in Him by God. God forgives you of ALL, all. That's the exact phrase the Bible uses. You are forgiven of all trespasses, all sins. Then the Bible says you are adopted into the family of God. It's very, very strong if you study that out. It's an adoption that can never be broken. And then He blesses you when you get saved. The moment you trust Christ, you come into His family. He brings you into His family, and He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He doesn't start you at the bottom of the ladder and say, okay, work your way up. He starts you on the top rung of the ladder, and He says, I'm gonna lavishly bestow upon you every blessing that I have in my Son, Jesus Christ. And then He actually, Ephesians 2, 6, says that He actually seats us with Christ in heaven. It's not something He's gonna do. It's something that He's already done if we know Jesus. We are seated with Christ in heaven. That is how secure our relationship is. And that's how accepted we are by God Almighty. Amen? Amen. Yes. Woo! What did we do to deserve all that acceptance? Be the homecoming queen, right? Be the high school quarterback and be the big jock on campus, right? No. What did we do to deserve all that acceptance? Nothing. It was the work of Christ. And then the grace of God that He extended to us. He loved us. And He wanted us. He just wanted us. And He fully accepts us despite our problems, despite our issues, despite our baggage. He loves us and He accepts us. That's the teaching of the Bible. Now, I want you to look at the bottom of your handout, Romans 8, and look what that says. This is amazing. Romans 8, great passage. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That means saved people. If you're saved, you're part of that group, right? Who's going to lay anything to your charge? In other words, who's going to accuse you? He says, it's God that what, church? Justifies. Who is he that's going to condemn you? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Look at this. Who also makes intercession. What's the next two words? For if I needed a lawyer, man, I can't think of a better one than Jesus. Amen? That's the one for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He goes on to say, is the devil going to be able to separate you from the love of God? Is demons or angels or things that are coming, things that are behind you, things that are happening in your life now, is any of that going to be able to separate you from the love of God? And then he emphatically says, no, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in your handout, it says we have total love and acceptance because of the work of Christ on our behalf. Wow. Total love and acceptance. Total. It's unconditional. Nobody, including Satan himself, can cause God to condemn us or to stop loving us. Nobody can cause God to stop loving us. Do I still mess up? Yep. Am I always lovable? My wife just lied in church. She just lied in church. Shame on you. I'm not always lovable. Trust me. Believe me. All right? No. You see, but God still loves me, accepts me, and does not condemn me. God views me as complete and acceptable in his Son. But wait a minute. I'm out. Woohoo! Because I have known such incredible love and acceptance from the God of this universe, despite all my issues, I am able to show that same love and acceptance to, let's bring it up, what? There you go. Write that in your handout. I am able to share that same love and acceptance with others. And let me tell you something. It's life-giving. If you look at verse 11 now, when you write that in, go to verse 11 and 12 in our text. Verses 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So what are we learning from the Bible today, church? We're learning that loving others means accepting others. As I learn, where's it at? Over here. As I learn the Bible, and as I begin to live the Bible, my heart is enlarged to include, go ahead and bring it up, what? Write that in again, right? My heart is enlarged to include others. In other words, as I begin to see this acceptance I have in the Lord, I'm beginning to share that with other people. And I'm not a spiritual hermit now, right? I'm not going to be a spiritual hermit in a cave somewhere. I'm not going to be on an island all by myself, right? No. And I'm telling you, this is hard. But as I grow in his love and as I understand his acceptance, I begin to live a life of openness and a life of acceptance of other people. I let them into my world. Now, we struggle with that. See, we struggle. Maybe because of rejection we faced in the past. We're afraid of that. But you need to understand, you have acceptance in Christ. And I think we struggle because a lot of times, you know, we struggle loving people who are different than us. And I think most of us, if we're honest, if we just get really honest, our default setting is to judge and condemn people that are different than us, you know, or at the least, we shy away from them, right? We keep them at arm's length. I mean, good grief, we even struggle loving and accepting each other with all of our Christian gloss, let alone those outside here who don't even know Jesus, you know? One of the things I really admired about my wife, we met in college, we're college sweethearts, and I met her in college. And when I met her, before we ever dated, before we ever, you know, did that, I just admired her. Because I noticed that, you know, she didn't care one thing about hanging out with the cool crowd. She didn't care. Didn't even matter to her if she was with the cool crowd, you know. She worked on a bus route, went out on Sundays, picked up kids, poor kids, needy kids, kids that had nothing, you know, and these kids, she would love on them and show them acceptance. And I thought, wow, man, that's amazing, you know. And then I noticed that her friends were the ones that struggled making friends. Maybe they were a little bit different, you know, but she would be kind to them and she would befriend them. And I thought, wow, Come to think of it, maybe that's how I got her. That just hit me. She said, he's a little different. Boy, he sure could use some love and acceptance. He's a little weird, but But it is just amazing. I mean, and she's still that way 30 years later. We go into a restaurant the other day. We're out of town, and we go in a restaurant, and her chair is up next to another chair. Of course, she's not facing that person. Their back of their chairs are kind of to each other. I go to the bathroom. I am gone less than 5 minutes. By the time I get back to my seat, she knows the woman, knows her name, knows that she lost her husband 6 months ago, knows her life story, and says, Dan, we need to pray for her. And we're all holding hands praying in a restaurant, you know. And that lady, that meant so much to her. She got up. You know, we ended up talking to her a lot. And she just needed someone to talk to. She was eating lunch all by herself. Lost her husband of 33 years 6 months ago. She's all by herself. And my wife reached out to her right there in the restaurant. We prayed. She got up. She said, you have no idea what that meant to me, you praying for me. And that's what I'm talking about. And my wife is an example to me in this area of just living a life of openness and acceptance of people. You know, we are to love others as Jesus has loved us. But have you ever thought about this? When this thought hit me, I was like, whoa, I better write that down right now. And I wrote this down and I put it in your handout. You ready? Everybody that Jesus loved was vastly different than him. See, we tend to gravitate to people like us, right? But everyone he loved was vastly different than him. Why? Because everybody he loved was a sinner and he was sinless. But yet, he loved them and did not shun them. Think about this with me. My mind started clicking, you know, with examples. And I'm like, okay, yeah, bunch of moms, you know, probably, they're bringing their little kids to Jesus for him to bless them. And the disciples are like, what's going on? The Messiah's busy. Get them kids out of here. And Jesus is like, oh, no. You don't forbid them to come to me. Come on, kids. And he takes them up in his arm and he blesses them. Acceptance. In Mark 5, there's a guy nobody would have anything to do with. He was homeless. He was half crazy. He lived out in the cemetery. He was just stark naked. He's running around cutting himself with rocks and stones, crying out. They tried to restrain him. They couldn't restrain the guy. Finally, everyone's like, yeah, just forget the guy. And nobody would even go by that way. Jesus went by. Jesus reached out to him. Jesus Christ changed his life. Jesus caught a lot of criticism for eating with tax collectors and people of moral ill repute. And he ate with them. When he ate with them, that was showing them loving acceptance. There is, by the way, this isn't rocket science. This isn't like really tough stuff here. You can show acceptance to someone at work, a neighbor maybe that doesn't know the Lord, maybe someone from the ball team. You can literally show them acceptance by a simple gesture of sharing a meal with them. Just say, man, we're barbecuing out. Why don't y'all come over and join us? Or, man, we're having some sandwiches. Come on over, man. Come on. Have some sandwiches with us. Or, man, let's go out. Let's grab a bite to eat together. When you sit around a table with someone and you share dinner or lunch with them, that is showing them loving acceptance. Foul-mouthed fishermen, Peter, James, and John. Have you ever heard the expression, cussing like a sailor? These guys cuss like sailors. The Pharisees wouldn't have given them the time of day. But Jesus is like, come on, guys, let's hang out. Come on, follow me. People that were physically handicapped or had special needs, Jesus just received them and accepted them and loved them so much. And that's why Jesus impacted so many lives and continues to. One of the greatest gifts that you could ever give another person is your loving acceptance. Many people will live and die and really never know what it's like to have someone just accept them for who they are. I'm telling you, it is a powerful, life-giving thing. And you will love them to Jesus, most likely, if they don't know Jesus. And I know what some of you are thinking right now, because I can read minds. Some of you are thinking, you got people going through your mind. And you're thinking, I can't show them acceptance. they are doing things I don't approve of. Let me ask you a question. Do you do things that God doesn't approve of? Does he still love and accept you? You don't have to approve of a person's actions in order to still show them love and acceptance as a person, as a human being, as someone that's made in God's image. I mean, good grief, I don't approve of everything I do. You know, I can't think of one person in my life that I've ever known that I just like and approve of everything they do and the way they do everything, except my wife. She's the only one. She said, now you lied in church. Here's our problem. We tend to naturally shy away from people that we think are a little bit different than us, mentally, socially, economically, in their beliefs, in their behavior, in their personality. But these are the people many times that need our love the most. And it is so Christ-like. Look in your handout, Matthew 15, 30 and 31. I love this passage. It says, look at it with me, guys. It's on the back of your handout. It says, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Look at that next statement in your handout. It says, we tend to gravitate away from people that we deem different. Jesus gravitated to them. He wanted to impact their lives through his love and acceptance. And I want our church, Crossroads, I hope y'all are with me on this, but I want our church to be Christ-like. And I want our church to send the message that you will be loved and you will be accepted here. And it does not matter your age. It doesn't matter your financial status. Doesn't matter your skin color, your nationality, your religion, your personal life, your past baggage. Just doesn't matter. We're going to love you. If you're a first-time guest, man, you're wanted. We're not some social club here, some exclusive social club. If you're a first-time guest, you're wanted. We got a parking space for you out here. We got a tent with people there ready to help you. We got a gift bag with goodies in it. Man, we've even got homemade cookies and coffee back here after the service if you want to come back and enjoy that. If you're handicapped, we want you here. We're ready. If you got special needs kids, man, we are ready for that. We got a ministry for you. We're ready. We want you. If you're deaf, doesn't Cody do a great job over here, man? I tell you what, man, Cody is amazing. Cody's an amazing guy. And Cody has such a heart, a Christ-like heart, for those who are deaf. You know, we had a whole group of deaf people. There's about four or five of them, and they came into Starbucks one day, and I was there. And I saw them. And you know, like I said, the tendency is arm's length, anyone who's different, right? And I thought, man, I want to reach out to them. I want to let them know we have a deaf ministry. And I went up and I talked to them and I gauged them in some conversation and invited them to come to our deaf ministry. If you're grieving, and man, we've met people today that are grieving over the loss of a loved one. We want you to come. Monday night, come to Grief Share. We want you here. You know, join the crowd. If you've got addictions, man, come on. We've all got issues we're working on. If you're divorced, man, I'll tell you what. I get so sick of this in churches. If you're divorced, we're not going to be like a lot of churches. You don't have to go around with a black mark on your forehead, all right? We understand that happens. And we want to help you with that. We want to help you through that. If you're homeless, we want you here. If you're a single mom or dad, man, that's tough. We got help for you here. If you're from, let me say this, if you're from a different religion, and sometimes people from different religions may even look different, but let me tell you something, I need to say this, if you're from a different religion, you know what, when you come to Crossroads, me or life group teachers should know this too, we are not going to bash you and we're not going to bash your religion, we're just going to teach the Bible, then you can take the Bible, compare it to your religion, and you can see, and you can make the decision based on what you see in the Word of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. We're just going to teach the Bible. Right? We're not here to bash people, man. We're just here to teach the Bible. We're here to teach the Bible. And then they can compare, and then they can make that decision about what they believe. That's something they have to decide. I can't do that for them. Our church is about teaching the Bible and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the good news of Christ all about? It's about Christ entering our hearts, entering our everyday lives, bringing his love, bringing his acceptance. But then he begins to change aspects of our lives that aren't in accordance with his word and his will and his ways. Why does he change us? Because he wants us to experience the joy of walking in his divine path and his will for our lives. And let me say this. You may be here today and you think, man, my life is so messed up and I have made a train wreck of my life. You mean that God will accept me and he will love me and accept me into his family? And my answer to this is very simple. If you come to God through his son, Jesus Christ, you're in. You're in. You say, what do you base that on? Go to chapter 5. Go to the next chapter. Look at verse number 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And notice, he that has the Son. If you've got Jesus, what do you have? Life. You got Jesus, you're in. Right? And he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. So, you know, here's the deal. God loves you and accepts you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. For example, if you say, man, my life is a train wreck. Well, he'll accept you, train wreck and all. He'll accept you, love you, but you know what? He's not going to leave you a train wreck. He's going to put the pieces back together. He's going to teach you a better way to live and a better way to love. And how many of you would agree we're all a work in progress? Amen? Well, God's going to change your life. To where you begin to reflect him. You begin to reflect his glory. God says if you aren't loving, you aren't living. You know? Loving others means accepting others. Showing them the love of Christ by showing them acceptance. It's the idea of nothing's going to make me quit loving you. So you know what? You can cuss me out. You can be rude to me. You can be mean to me. You cannot love me, but you know what? I have control over who I love, and nothing's going to make me stop loving you. That's the kind of acceptance that God's calling us to give to people. You know, sometimes, like, I know as parents, you know, we want to, our kids grow up maybe, they become adults, and then they take paths that we wish they wouldn't take, and they do things we wish they wouldn't do. And sometimes as parents, We think, well, if I withdraw my love and my acceptance from them, that will change them. Guess what? That is not going to change them. All that's going to do is make them mad and bitter at you. I want my boys to know, you know what? I'm not going to necessarily approve of everything you do in life, all right? I don't have to approve of every action and every decision you make, but you know what? Nothing will ever cause me and your mother to quit loving you and accept you as a person. May not accept all your actions, but I will accept you as a person and love you. By the way, that's a much more joyful way to live than living a life going around criticizing people all the time. Going around hyper-judgmental. This is a much more joyful way to live your life. It's just to love and accept people, you know? And so I want to challenge you. The tough part's going to come when we say amen and leave. And I want to challenge you to go out this week and live a life of love by showing Christ-like acceptance to others around you. All right, and in your handout, it says at the bottom there that when you do that, it's life-giving. I'm telling you, it's life-giving, and it's life-changing. It really is. Guys, that's just number one. That's our first resolution. We're going to cover number two next week, but number one is I will accept others. I'm going to take the acceptance that I don't deserve but that I have before God, and I'm going to share that with others. Amen, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.